from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all friend, if he isn't yours, he can be, he came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He wants to be your Savior today, if you'll allow him to be. All friend, listen, if God wasn't speaking to you, if the Lord wasn't dealing with your heart, you wouldn't be tuned in to this old country preacher on this beautiful morning. Well, we're excited about the program, excited about the message God has laid upon my heart, excited about the song Debbie's got ready for us to sing. And well, we just love what God's called us to do. Certainly do. Don't have to do this, friend. You know, that isn't that amazing? People say, well, I got to do this or I got to do that. Hey, listen, by the grace of God, for the glory of God, I get to do this. I get to preach. I get to teach the Word of God. I get to tell sinners that Jesus saves. I get to tell the saint that we can become more like Christ moment by moment, day by day. And I get to tell everybody that he's coming again. You are ready, aren't you? You are ready for that, aren't you? If you aren't, please get ready. Now, you know I love, if you've heard me any at all, preach across the years. I love preaching on the second coming of Christ. That's not what I'm going to preach on today. But boy, I sure love preaching on it. Sure love thinking about it. Sure love learning about it. Sure love longing for it. And I certainly am today. But that being said, I've got my Bible open to the book of Ephesians, right after the book of Galatians, right before the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And I'm just going to read verse 1. As far as a text verse for the message, I'll read several other verses as I share with you what God has laid on my heart, which I trust will be a blessing. I trust it will bring glory to God, honor to His Son, and edification to all of you that know Christ as your Savior. But before I do that, Deb's got a song queued up, ready to go. The title of it is, It's Good to Know the Shepherd. And friend, it is. If you don't, I want you to get to know him today. Soon Debbie gets done with this song, I'll be back in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, reading verse 1. Enjoy.
I'm standing on the mountain, so high I could touch the sky. Then I saw a deep, dark valley waiting on the other side. Sweet peace to me. Now I'm climbing back.
I can't hardly listen to Debbie sing it and sing with her in the background or somewhat without me wanting to say, yeehaw, listen, I love that, don't you? I love to know the shepherd walks and talks with me. How wonderful that is. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you for what God has blessed you with, for sharing that with us and being such an important part of this little radio ministry. I love you, sis. I sure love you. Look, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, listen to what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, he said, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. I'm going to talk to you today for a little while, the good Lord willing, about walking commensurate to our calling. Walking commensurate to our calling. You say, what do you mean commensurate, preacher? Well, it means equal to. It means according to. And we ought to walk that way, don't we? I mean to tell you, we ought to walk that way. What a great privilege it is, like Debbie's saying, to walk and to talk with the Lord. Hey, do you know what we are? All of you that are saved, say amen. All of you that are saved, your sins are under the blood, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're sealed with the Spirit, say amen. Hey, listen, God expects something of us. We've been saved, bless God. We've been delivered. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, put in the kingdom of light. We've been made new creatures in Christ. Listen, we've got resident within us the Holy Spirit of God. We've become the temple of the Almighty God. And you know what He does? He expects us to walk in this world, in this sin-cursed world, in this fallen world. We ought to walk worthy of Christ. We ought to walk worthy of the calling that He's put on our life. We ought to walk worthy, friend, of the fact that we're testifying that we know Him. And how's your walk? How's your walk? Now look, when we get here into chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, Paul has already given us 3 chapters of doctrine. I mean to tell you, he has told us some marvelous things. He has told us some excellent things. Can I give you just simply one out of verse 4? Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Man, I'll tell you what. Listen, bless God, that's important, is it not? That sets it up. That tells us what we ought to do. And that, listen, friend, I know this is not going to match up with a lot of people with their lives and what they say and with what this moderate, pragmatic church age is teaching, and then this apostate age that is being propagated day in and day out, that tells us, like Jude said, that you can get saved and live any old way you want. Hey, I'm here to tell you, bless God, the way is called holy. The way is straight. Hey, it's narrow, bless God. And He said right here in Ephesians chapter 4 that we ought to be holy and without blame before Him in love. How's your walk? How's your walk? Are you walking commensurate with the calling that's on your life, with the confession that you've made with your lips? I mean, to tell you, does it match up? I mean, is it equal to? Is it what it ought to be? Is it what it can be? Now look at the first 3 chapters of this great epistle, this great letter that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write. He sets forth before us in the first 3 chapters the doctrinal truth. The people in this day, they don't worry too much about doctrine. But can I tell you something? Everybody listen. Listen right now. Bless God, listen. What you believe determines how you behave. Do you hear? I mean to tell you, that's what walk talks about. The walk that we have, that Paul said we ought to walk worthy, we ought to walk commensurate, we ought to walk equal to our calling. He says, listen, friend, it's determined how we walk by what we believe. That's why Paul put the doctrinal before. He put the practical out. He said, now look, he said, I'm going to sum this up. He said, everything I've already told you, chapter 1, 2, and 3, up to this point. He said, it's been good stuff. It's been real stuff. It's been plain stuff. It's holy stuff. It's heavenly stuff. But he said, listen, doesn't do you any good unless you put it into action here on earth. I mean to tell you, we got to walk it out. We got to live it out. We got to put it in our heart. We got to hide it in our heart. We've got to live it out in our hands and in our feet, in the work we do, the places we go, the people that we make contact with, the fellowship with that we have, the life that we live. I'm telling you, folks, we ought to walk commensurate. We ought to walk commensurate to the calling that God has put on our life. We ought to walk worthy. You know what? Listen, that ought to match up with our actions and words. That's what our walk ought to do. I mean, to tell you, it's one thing to say something. It's another thing to be something. It's another thing to do something. I'm telling you, listen, our life ought to show forth what's inward in our convictions, in our heart. And hey, sir, ma'am, if you're saved, you got any time at all under your belt, so to speak, any number of days of experience, years, you've been growing in grace and knowledge, you ought to have some Bible convictions. You ought to have some things that you stand on and stand by. Hey, friend, listen, he said that we're to walk worthy of our vocation wherewith we are called. Now listen, I need you prayers. Matter of fact, I'm thinking right now that, bless God, as I begin to preach this, maybe you need me, and maybe you need some of my prayers. I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to pray one for another. If you agree with that, say amen right there. Now listen to what he said. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That's the proposition. I mean to tell you, that's the proposition. Paul said, now listen, you're professing Christ. You profess to know Him as your Savior. You're proclaiming Him. And this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for you to prove that. And you prove that by the walk that you have, the behavior that you manifest, the conduct of life that you have. That's what the walk talks about. Our walk, the Word of God talks in different places over the book of Colossians, again, the book of Philippians, I believe, let alone right here, three or four times in the book of Ephesians. It talks about our walk, and it's always according to that which is godly, that which is holy, that which is Christ-like. Hey, listen, friend, listen to this, please. You can't profess Christ and then live any old way that you choose. You can't walk in the Lord's way on Sunday and in the way of the devil Monday through Saturday. I'm telling you, friend, listen, this Christian thing, this Christian conduct is a 24/7 thing, 365 thing. I mean to tell you, it's continually. We get up with it in the morning. We go to bed with it at night. It ought not to be something we have to do, but bless God, it ought to be something we get to go do for the glory of Almighty God. So it's a proposition, but it's an opportunity, and it's an obligation. I'm telling you, we don't have any choice in this. I mean, if we're saved, we'll show it. Do you hear me? I mean, every now and then down church, I'll lead our congregation in a little song. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Now look, I know there's more to being saved than saying amen, but it gets us stirred up when I do that. I'm telling you, friend, we've got not only an opportunity, bless God, to show our relationship with Christ, we got an obligation. I'm telling you, all of us are debtors to Christ. Do you know that? We're not only debtors to Christ, but we're debtors to the world that we live in, to the lost that's around us, our family that God put us in. Him. Our workmates, bless God, that see us every day. Our classmates that we go to school with. Those people that we meet with, maybe at Kroger's or at the mall or in some restaurant or whatever. Maybe on the golf course. Maybe the fishing hole. I don't know where it's at. Maybe it's down the beauty parlor, the barber shop. But look, friend, we need to live in such a way that they'll know whose side that we're on. We've got an opportunity here, but we've got an obligation. And bless God, there's an outcome. Do you hear? Paul said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And you say, well, how can I do that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Listen to the provision God has given us. Listen to what he goes on to say here in verse 7. First of all, we're going to see the grace. He said, but every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'll tell you, whatever God's called you to do, He'll enable you to do it. Grace is more than that thing which we are saved by. It's also that thing which we live by. I mean, that grace, bless God, is an enablement. It comes from Almighty God and the provision God has given to you and I. To live in such a way that we walk worthy of our vocation wherewith we are called. It's provided. Do you hear? It's provided sufficiently. You say, preacher, I don't have enough. Well, Peter said, glory, hallelujah, that God is the God of all grace. Go to Him and ask Him and say, God, I need just a little bit more, and God will give it to you. He said, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, whatever God's called you to. He'll enable you to do it. The first thing He's called you to do, you got to have this down as a foundation. He's called you to be Christ-like in a world that's fallen, that's against Christ, that's anti-Christ actually. But He's called us to be representatives, called us to be ambassadors, called us to be witnesses, called us to testify, called us to manifest Christ in us. And oh, listen, friend, I bless God. He's given us sufficient provision to do that. And you say, well, I need more than grace. Well, listen to what He said in verse 8. He's not only given us grace, but He's given us gifts. He said, wherefore He said, when He said, centered upon high, led captivity, captive gave gifts unto men. Listen what He gave in verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, or some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Thank God. Listen, He gives us all the provision that we need to be made Christ-like, to walk worthy in this life, to be the kind of promoter of Jesus Christ that we ought to do. He's given us grace, but bless God, He's given us gifts. I tell the church all the time where I pastor, I like to geek them a little bit. I look at them and said, y'all know I'm a gift to you, don't you? Well, I'm not much of a gift. I feel sorry for them. That's what the Word of God said. You say, why? Why, preacher, did God give us apostles? Did God give us prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? He goes on to say here in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you say, what's that mean? Well, bless God, we're to be equipped. We're to grow. We're to go from infanthood to adulthood. We're to go from being a child to being an adult. We're to become Christ-like. We're to start growing. We're going to keep growing. We're to keep growing until we die. That's exactly what He said, because it goes on in the next verse. He said, till we come in unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of darkness, a doctrine and by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'm telling you, friend, listen, the day's not the day to prattle around. Did you know the world's not a playground? It is a battleground. Bless God, we're in a spiritual warfare. And if you can't see that right now, you say you're saved. You say your sins are under the blood. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're sealed with the Spirit of God. And you can't see the spiritual warfare that we're in today. I'm telling you, friend, we're in a fight for our life. I mean to tell you, there are people ready to deceive you, ready to dupe you, ready, bless God, to take everything that you've got, to put doubt in your mind, listen, to put difference or distance between you and God. But I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to walk worthy. We ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. God has not only made that proposition to us, but He's given provision for us. And the goal is that we come to into the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that's our goal. He's given us gifts. He's given us grace. But He's got a goal for us. And His goal for us is Christ-likeness. That's exactly right, friend. How we're to be like His dear Son. Let me get one more point. Time's running out. I look over in verse 17. That's where we want to think about the participation. Now, it's not enough to know. Do you hear? We're living in the information age, are we not? We're living in the day of the World Wide Web. That's good, but it's not good. I mean to tell you, there's much junk comes over that thing. It's not funny. I mean to tell you, we're going to find where it's more of a negative than it is a positive. It's a pretty amazing thing. I marvel at the fact that I can write a question in a search bar, and in just less than a second, I have an answer. It's amazing to me, absolutely amazing to me. But I'll tell you what, friend, listen, we need to be a participant in this thing called Christianity. God's called us out of the world. We are in the world, Jesus said, John 17 and 11. However, we're not of the world. He said in verse 14, as He was praying for those, Jesus was in His high priestly prayer. So listen, friend, we ought to have a participation in this thing, but there ought to be a difference. Look at verse 17 and 18 and 19. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings are giving themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with godliness. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, listen, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, what you do, who you do it with, how you do it, ought to be different than the way the world does it. Bless God, if you say you got saved, if you say you bowed at an altar of prayer, repented of your sin, confessed Christ as your Savior, and there's been no change in your lifestyle, in your conversation, in your communication, but that I mean, who you hang with, how you talk, what you do in your life, whether you sin or not, I'm telling you, friend, if there's been no change in your life, sure, ma'am, I want to inform you today, as easy as I can, as boldly as I can, as plainly as I can, in love as I can, I bless God, you got shortchanged, you hear me? There's not been a change if there's not been a change. I'm telling you, friend, listen, bless God, when you meet Jesus as your Savior, you go to Him with a broken heart, the contrite spirit. You ask Him to save you. Ask Him to deliver you. Ask Him to forgive you. He'll make you a new creature in Christ. You'll hate the old things you used to love. You'll love the things you used to hate. And bless God, if that's not your experience, you've not had the right one. I'm telling you, listen, God has called us out of the world. Called us to be different than everybody else in the world. That doesn't mean we're better than them. That doesn't mean we're better than them. But bless God, we've been called to a life of holiness and righteousness. Isn't that what the Word of God said? We ought to be holy and without blame before Him in love. Not only is there a difference, bless God, it's defined. Look here, verse 20 and 21. He said, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be ye have heard of Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Right there is our example. Bless God, we're to be different. The way we're to be different, it's defined in Christ Jesus. And Christian means to be a little Christ. Oh, look, folks, look, there's a lot of people doing a lot of things. They're naming the name of Christ. I bless God, Christ wouldn't be found with them. Christ wouldn't be found doing that. Hey, friend, listen. Let's get down to the truth. Let's remember the Word of God. It says this is a way of holiness. This is a way of righteousness. God didn't make a suggestion when He told Peter to tell us, bless God, that since I'm holy, He expects you and I to be holy. Bless God, listen. I'll tell you, there's to be a difference. Do you hear me? It's divine. It's defined in the way Christ is and live. I don't have time to get this, but it's definite. You begin to pick it up in verse 22 and read on down through the remainder of the chapter. He says you're supposed to put off some things and you're to put on some things. We're supposed to put off the former conversation. You know what that conversation means? It means lifestyle. It means citizenship. Hey, listen, folks. Bless God, I'm a citizen of another world. Now that I'm saved, now that I'm at Christ as my Savior, I bless God, I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger seeking a new city to come. I thank God, as a pilgrim, I'm on my way home. As a stranger, I'm away from home. I'm out of place in this world. I'm out of touch. Do you hear me? And I say, thank God for that. I'm to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I bless God. I'm to lay off the former conversation which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust that's there. I'm to put away a lot of things and then put on something. And listen, friend, it's a choice. It's more than that. It's a command. It's more than that. It's a privilege. And bless God, if you're truly in Christ and Christ is truly in you, that's what you'll strive to do. Hey, folks, I'm talking about walking commensurate with your calling. How you doing? I've got some shaving up to do. I've got some work to do. And I just got the sneaking suspicion, so do you. Listen, God's called us out of something into something. He's called us to something great, called us to something high, called us to something holy, called us to something that makes us like His Son. Hey, friend, He's got a plan. It's eternal. He's given us the opportunity to partake in it. And if you need to repent, get it right, do it today. If you're not listening, if you've only heard the call of God and you've not accepted it, why don't you run to Him today and say, God, the kind of life that preacher's tried to preach about is the life I want. He'll deliver you. He'll make you new. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I pray the time was a blessing. Until.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truth today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some ways ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you would like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truth, Post Office Box 181, Bob White, West Virginia 25028. That's Inspirational Truths, Post Office Box 181, Bob White, West Virginia 25028. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
And your grace, you show.